And the list goes on, on down the line. When the list goes on.
And we're live.
It's The List Goes On. Sup, Jimmy?
You want to talk about Sasha Banks?
I mean, yeah, it's good. It's good programming.
Now, I want to talk about Raw. This was the first Raw in a long time where there were things to like.
Yeah.
And one thing, so I was going to talk about, you know, Drew winning the title. You've already kind of covered it. You know, the fact, everybody's asking, why did they take it off and begin with? And yes. I think the answer is Vince doesn't plan anything out. That's basically
so
what it is. So that he just goes off a whim. He decides one week to take it off of him, then decides, oh, okay, let's put it back on. That's all it is. What I want to talk about is Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin.
Okay.
They are excellent. They are a great tag team. I really hope they are not a throwaway makeshift tag team that they forget about, because that's what Vince McMahon does. Their match with the New Day was great. But what I just kept looking at Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. They do the little things really well as a tag team. And I know a lot of it is probably Shelton, because he's got a lot of experience in tag team wrestling. But the little things like cutting off the man from the corner, they have a lot of double team moves that they do. Cedric a couple of times would go for a cover, and Shelton would take out the other guy.
Yes.
When Cedric went for a cover. And they actually, they got me on a false finish. When they did a double team move, Cedric covered, Shelton took out the other guy, and then they kicked out. They got me on that.
Was it the powerbomb clothesline?
I think that might have been it.
Oh, it was so good. Yeah. So good.
Like, they're so good at the little things as a tag team, and I look at those two guys and I think, okay, yes, they're just two members of the Hurt Business, and they got put together because Lashley's a singles champion, MVP is more of a manager. Keep them as a tag team. I would even give them their own name. Like, they are really, really good as a tag team. They're almost a little bit like the Hart Foundation in terms of Benjamin is like the bigger, stronger guy, and Cedric is the flyer. Really, yeah. Really good. And I hope they keep them together because, yeah, they really impressed me. And not to take anything away from the New Day, but they really impressed me in that match on Monday night. Really liked
it. Well, Shelton is one of the best tag team wrestlers I've ever seen. He's so good. Him and Charlie Haas were so great. And he was a good tag team wrestler with Brock even before that in OVW. He already got it.
Right.
You talk about Brock just getting it. Shelton got it too. Like they had a hell of a class with that. But yeah, the little things are so important and making sense of things. And good tag team wrestling can draw. Good tag team wrestling can draw. And that match, back-to-back weeks, we've had Ali and Ricochet, and then we've had an absolute banger of a tag match. You give me one of those, at least one of those a week.
Right.
And you can. You've got the talent.
Yep.
Give me one of those a week, and I won't dread watching Monday Night Raw.
And not only that, but the guys are only working once a week, so asking them to go out there and put in 20 minutes, they're more than willing to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No one's hurt. Like, they're more than willing to do it. The other thing about Raw that I want to mention is Bray Wyatt with Alexa Bliss. So I had thought initially when they put Alexa with Bray Wyatt, I thought, okay, they're almost jumping the shark a little bit. Bray's kind of done. What they can do is act is getting a little bit stale. They put Alexa with them to try to spice things up a little bit. I loved her in his corner against The Miz. I liked the element that she brought. I liked her, you know, she even did the dive onto Morrison over the barricade.
Yes.
I thought they were a really good act together, Bray and Alexa. I thought they worked well together. It's one thing when they're doing the Firefly Funhouse, but actually in the ring, I thought that they worked really well together. And I loved the finish. I loved when, you know, Miz went for that clothesline in the corner. And then the way he does it, he's basically in Sister Abigail, the way he does it.
Yes.
And then Bray just looks at him, drags him out, Abigail. I really liked it. I thought that was a good finish. I liked the whole thing.
That was a match that, like, didn't have any big bells and whistles. The Alexa spot was very entertaining. But I thought from the opening promo, from Alexa's reaction to fighting with Nikki, Nikki's reaction, Bray's reaction to Nikki,
right.
Then Miz's reaction to all of them, John Morrison being dressed in a suit,
right.
It was so much better, so much better. He looked like $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
This looked so much better than having him come out in his studded gear,
right.
With the fur at the bottom and sunglasses. He
yeah.
looks like a star doing that. And did you see Denise's tweet about the Alexa spot?
No.
It said, when she finds out you took Blue Chew.
When she ran at him?
Yes. I was
That's
so
funny.
Proud. Never prouder. But I agree with you. This was a really good match that played off of the strengths of them as pro wrestling performers. I loved this.
I liked it too. Even little things like Alexa, the camera work for a change. When Alexa popped up in the corner,
yeah,
and spooked Morrison, and they did the camera work in such a way that it, you know, kind of slowly went over to her, and then she was there. Like it was good. I really liked it. I want to ask you about Survivor Series. What's the plan for The Undertaker? It really sucks they can't have live fans because he deserves it for what looks like it's going to be a send-off. He deserves to have a full house. But what's the plan? Because we've heard all these names. Kane's going to be there. The Godfather's going to be there. Kurt Angle's been announced. Savio Vega's been announced. Are they just going to do a thing in the ring like they did for Flair's retirement, that kind of deal, or have you heard anything?
They're playing it close to the vest. Okay. But from what I have heard, this is supposed to be it for him.
Right.
Supposed to be it for him. But you never know what Vince will do, and they have him under a contract if 20 years.
Right.
they signed him to a deal so Conrad wouldn't do a podcast with him. That's pretty much what happened there. And now they're getting a lot of great stories out of him, but this is supposed to be the end. I haven't heard about, like, if they're going to have these people in character, if it's going to be like a BSK thing. They're playing it really close to the vest right now.
Okay, I guess we'll see what happens. I want to talk about Lana. When they first started doing the table spots with Nia Jax, I thought, okay, they're doing this as punishment because Miro went to AEW. Even though they released him, that's Vincent Mann's MO. They're taking it out on Lana, and that's what they're doing. I look at it now, and maybe this is accidental, but I look at it now like she's really eliciting a sympathetic babyface reaction from the crowd. Viewers. I like Lana a lot better today than I did 2 months ago. And I feel like it's because she's really good with facial expressions and stuff. I feel like she's done a good job of eliciting that sympathetic babyface reaction. I feel now like Lana's going to be the sole survivor of the Survivor Series. What do you think? Do you think that this was the plan all along, or do you think that Vince was punishing her and then, oh shit, now the crowd's kind of taken to her?
I think it was supposed to be a short-term thing that got over and they're like, well, hell yeah, let's keep doing it. I don't think it was supposed to be a punishment. I think the real punishment is just taking somebody off TV.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
That's how I feel.
Well, good for her. I like what she's doing. I really used to love Lana, like we've talked about, when she was the heel Russian character. I felt that she could have been the top female star in the company if they had went with it, and they didn't. But now this character, this Lana character, even though they – you know, they make no bones about the fact that she's not supposed to be a great wrestler in the ring and she gets beat in 2 minutes and everything. They still have created the sympathetic babyface character. And so I feel like Nia Jax is going to get hers at Survivor Series and Lana is going to be the sole survivor for the team. We'll see what happens with that. I want to ask you about the Rascals.
Yeah.
So this is the Impact team, the Rascals. Trey Miguel, Desmond Xavier, Zachary Wentz. There are reports that they have a standing offer from WWE. My question for you is, unless it is a guaranteed money offer, why on earth would you want to go to WWE as part of a team when you see how they have completely decimated their tag team division? Why would you want to do that?
Money and opportunity, and if it doesn't work out, they're all young enough to do something else afterwards. Also, I think you have to have a little bit of confidence instilled in how quickly Kurt Stallion and August Gray, the former Anthony Green, were used. Jimmy, I was interviewing Anthony Green like 2.5 months ago. He's on WWE TV every week now. That isn't a thing that usually happens. Usually these people sit around. A lot of the deals for incoming wrestlers are shorter term. I don't know if theirs are, but they got plenty of exposure. They can appear on 205 Live and probably got about as many people watching 205 Live as Impact these days. So I think that they're in a bit of a different situation in that they are a bit established. They have enough of a future in front of them, and it's like, make your money now while you can, and it's the most secure thing in this environment right now, I think.
Okay, I guess we'll see what happens with them. Chelsea Green, how's she doing? That was a tough one.
Yeah, I heard that the wrist injury was worse than the first one. If you saw the x-ray, what a bummer. Because she broke her wrist in her NXT debut. This broke right below the plate that held her wrist together last time.
Same arm.
Same arm. She was supposed to win that match. And I can put this on here because it's on Select now. They were going to rename her Victorious, Jimmy.
Now, was that going to be a nickname like Victorious Chelsea Green?
Her name is supposed to be Victorious. That's just all I know.
Like Reckoning, basically.
Her name is, yes. It's supposed to be Victorious. And then it was listed multiple ways on the rundown that I saw, the SmackDown rundown. People ask, oh, do you still get to see those? When I want to, yeah. And it was listed as both. So it's very confusing. I feel really bad for her. She has had Matt Hardy, Sammy Guevara feud luck. It was the worst luck.
Yeah.
From her tough enough days.
Yeah.
She's had the worst luck. So, I mean, she didn't get picked up after that, and she should have. She went to TNA, proved that she was TV ready. Then WWE was like, yeah, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Then she got signed, wasn't on TV, got her wrist broken when she was on TV, got called up, then didn't get called up, then did nothing on TV, got called up again, did nothing on TV,
mm-hmm.
got called up again, broke her wrist, and I haven't even scratched the surface with Chelsea Green news, because the last 2 weeks has been an avalanche, Jimmy, because I started to ask about her 2 weeks ago when she tweeted about not wrestling since May. I got a lot of information, a lot of pitches, a lot of stuff. And then she had a meeting with Vince McMahon who wanted to, like, what are we doing with her? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then he liked it. He enjoyed the meeting, from what I understand. Had her going over on Friday. Paul Heyman was very high on her, from what I understand. Oh, just a terrible series of circumstances.
Yeah, that really sucks. Well, I guess last thing on my list, kind of speaking of Chelsea Green, did you see Matt Cardona at the toy shop?
I did not. So the way that it was set up, they used to be in a very, I don't want to say a smaller building, but they used to be in a smaller building, essentially, a smaller area of that strip mall, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And after they blew up, they moved next door into the bigger place, but they retained that building. So they had the meet and greet in the older building where they could isolate it, and then right next to that is the store, like literally 5 feet away. So they had the line going into that isolated building, and then people would come out, and they'd go right into the store, and they'd shop. I went there to kind of make an appearance and pop up because I love those guys. They're very awesome to me. And, I mean, Toy HQ. Cardona's all okay to me. He's okay to me. Did a good interview. But, yeah, it was very successful. It makes me very happy to see them successful after WWE.
So I'll tell people a little story. This is a little Fightful Select story I'll tell you guys. So Matt Cardona, we talk every now and then about LJNs.
Yeah.
And one of the popular ones in the line is the black card Randy Savage from Series 6. It was the last – they basically re-released Randy Savage on a black card because they had extra inventory to sell. And now getting it on the card is rare. Like, there's not a lot of them out there. I happen to have two of them. And what's extra rare is if you get one with a Randy Savage card on it, because the generic one is the Hogan card, because they made so many of the Hogan cards.
Yeah.
I have one on a Hogan card, one on a Randy Savage card. And Matt Cardona, a while back, hit me up, and he said, can I see a picture of your Randy Savages, your black card Randy Savages? And I said, yeah, I'll send you a picture, but they're not for sale. So I sent him the front, picture of both the front. And then he goes, is either one of them a Savage card? And I said, yeah, but they're not for sale. He goes, well, let me just see the Savage card. And I'm like, he freaking wants it. So Matt Cardona's favorite wrestler is Randy Savage, all right? And he collects all the Randy Savage stuff. So I sent him the Savage card, like the picture of the Savage card. Then he starts critiquing the quality. He's like, oh, there's a little bit of a sticker thing here. And there's a, and I was like, yeah, it's not like perfect, but it's not for sale.
Yes.
And he keeps asking about it, and I was like, dude, I'm telling you, it's not for sale. So then I told Sean, so another Randy Savage black card became available for sale, and within a very quick period of time, it sold. And so I said to Sean, because Sean said to me, do you want me to ask Matt Cardona anything? And I said, yeah, I'll ask him if he's the guy that bought that black card Savage, because the guy kept asking me about mine, and there you go, there was one available. Yeah. And so quickly, I would bet you he's the one that bought it, but I was just kind of curious. Out. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I could get a hold of him.
Oh, I can ask him too. Like, I talked to him online, but I figured you were seeing him in person, and I thought it'd be a great live reaction. You know?
Fair.
So, that's it.
List goes on. Thank you guys so much. Q&A show on Thursday. We're out. Subscribe to Fightful on YouTube for the latest exclusive podcasts, interviews, and news across boxing, MMA, and pro wrestling.